Welcome, everybody, to Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. I am very, 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 very humbled and thankful that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to tune in to a show that has the potential to really change your life. You know, this is what I do. You know, I bring this information to you with the hopes that, you know, God will open your hearts and open your minds to receive it, because, you know, when I bring guests on that, you know, have actually changed lives and saved lives, I mean, these are very, very special, special people who've actually dedicated their life to helping to improve the quality of life of other people. My special guest today is somebody that I've had the honor and privilege of interviewing for years, over a decade. I've been interviewing this brother, and once you've never heard him before, you'll see why once you have an opportunity to listen. So, everybody, I want you to sit back and get ready, because you're getting ready to hear from a life changer and a life saver today. My special guest is King Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. He's been on this holistic health path for over 30 years, probably about 35 maybe now. And over that span of time, I mean, he's seen a lot, he's learned a lot, and he's shared a lot. And I'm going to bring him on and ask him to give his testimony about how he got started in the holistic health field. Tonight, though, we're going to be talking about lung cancer and ways that you can treat it holistically, okay? I just want to state from the outset that we're not promising any miracles or anything like that. You know, there's no miracle cure or no special pill that you can take or to get rid of it, and everybody will have different results based upon a lot of different factors, you know, where they are when they come to this information. You can wait too late to get some information, and I'll share why I know that to be the case during the course of the show. But again, this is like a disclaimer that we're not promising anything. You know, Coy's not selling a miracle pill or a miracle drug that will get rid of whatever your condition is. But if you listen, and if you're open, and if you're humble, and if you're patient, you can definitely see results that will blow your mind. And when you hear Brother Coy's testimony, it's going to blow your mind, trust me. So let me get to my special guest. King Coy, welcome back to Juwanza for Life. It's always a pleasure to have you. I'm honored to have you as a guest today, and I'm looking for a great show.
Good evening, sir, to you and your family and the audience. Good to be back with you again. It's good to talk with you again and to interact with the information that we have to share, and hopefully we can help someone along the way that's got this problem. And feel free to call in and focus me in on where you want to go if I stray a little, but we can get into that as we move along. So
okay.
You talked about my testimony. In 1980, I graduated from law school and went home to see my mother just to take a time, take a break. I've been working pretty hard trying to get out of school. And I got home, and my mother had just come from the doctor, and she said the doctor told her to go to Duke University the next morning as soon as she could for further examination, because he couldn't give her a diagnosis of what was going on with her. So the next morning, my dad and I got up, drove up to Duke University. This is in Durham, North Carolina. Drove up to Duke University Hospital, and we sit down, and she was admitted to the hospital, and they kept her in there most of the day, just running tests and trying to see what was going on with her. And at the end of the day, they came back and told us they were going to keep her and do some more tests and see if there was anything further they could determine about her condition. So my dad and I got up and went home and came back the next day. And that's when they came up with a diagnosis of cancer of the breast, the liver, and the colon. So with that information, they said they would do what they could for, and eventually what they were trying to do was they ran out of things to do, and they tried to do chemotherapy. And you know, my mother asked me, what did I think of that? And I say, well, if it was me, I think I would just pack it up and let's go home and get ready to meet our maker. So after about, I guess she stayed in the hospital about two to three weeks, something like that, before we got to the point to where we actually left. And the biggest concern was, once we got her out of the hospital, was getting her mind right. So, you know, you go through, when you're diagnosed with a terminal disease, you go through why me, you get into the rut, and you blame everybody else. And it's kind of a touch and go for a minute in terms of getting along with people or getting along in life. And took us about a week to settle her down enough to begin to move in a direction of healing. And at the time, I didn't know anything about anything, really, other than what I had learned in school, and that wasn't a lot. But I just felt that after, you know, the consideration of her being home and me having free time, that there was something I could do to make life better for her. So I went out and I started researching and looking and learning all I could about cancer and disease and why do we get sick and what to do about it and how to correct the condition. Correcting conditions naturally. And we started using some of the products, some herbal products that could address the issue of cancer. And I guess after about 2 or 3 months after she was out of the hospital, a company called Nature Sunshine put out a product called Pardiaco. And that product changed the lives of a lot of people since then. But I got it for my mother. We used it, and she got better. She got much better. And I was just shocked. I said, how can this be when the doctors couldn't decide this? So I just kept working. I kept learning. I kept sending stuff or giving stuff. And we learned how to pray. We learned how to fast. We learned how to do enemas, all of those things, in the process of correcting the condition. And sure enough, she lived 10 years after that. And when she died, she was cancer-free. So that's
wow.
Convinced me to do what I do every day, and I've been doing it now since 1980, really, and it's been quite rewarding for you to be in and helped a lot of people along the way, I hope, and hopefully I can help some more. So that's my little story in a nutshell, and it's been interesting a profession to be in. You learn a lot about the medical system and how they do things. And it's most of it is contrary to what it takes to live in this world, healthy, to live a healthy life. And then you learn how you are affected by the environment so much, the pollution in the air. And we pick up bad habits of smoking and drinking and all those things really tear down the body, and it leads to the diseases that we get to. Most of the diseases that we get, and I would say 99.9% of them are preventable. So if we learn how to give the body what it needs, we can prevent a lot of agony and pain and save a lot of money without giving it all to the medical profession when you die. And well, giving it all to the medical profession and then dying with nothing. So I would encourage everybody to, you know, at least take the steps of being responsible for yourself. Try to get yourself to a place to where you make as good of an environment that you can live in. I begin to study and learn how the body works and begin to do the things you know you need to do and stop the things you know you need to stop. And you'll have a much better life and won't have to be taking a lot of drugs or anything else that that's against the body. So that's a little introductory program for me, and we can go from there.
Wow. So when you left the hospital with her, she, in her mind, this was talking about the interim, between the time that you left the hospital and before the time that you actually went out and started researching and before you had come into contact, with information that would ultimately lead you down a holistic path, she was of the mindset she was preparing to go home to die, right? I mean, you
That's
had,
right.
you know,
yeah.
she asked you, what would you do? And you told her that, you know, you didn't recommend taking chemo or radiation. And so in her mind, she was preparing to leave the planet, right? I mean, that was that was what was probably contributing to her mindset, you know, and her, you know, being of the, you know, not, you know, having to deal with the fact that, you know, oh, I've got this, you know, how come, why me, and all of this, and I'm not ready to go, you know. Is that correct? She was actually coming home and ready to die.
That's all we knew. I mean, we had no framework or anything else other than, you know, if we got sick, we knew how to go back in the woods somewhere and pull some leaves and make a tea or something and drink it, or pull something off a tree or whatever. We knew how to do that, but we had never dealt with anything like a cancer or a terminal disease. So not knowing any more than I did about it, there was not a lot that I could contribute to information about how to use or what alternatives we had at the time. So during that time, probably about the first 90 days, I got up on a lot of that, and we began to apply some of the things. And sure enough, they began to work.
Were you shocked once you found out, for example, that the standard American diet that we've been told brought up, many of us grow up seeing that chart, you know, that you're supposed to have X amount of helpings of meat, you know, a glass of milk, you know, some dairy, eggs, whatever else was on the chart. Were you shocked to find that those things that we had been given as, you know, what they told us was a healthy diet was in fact was the culprit, you know, that we were actually eating those things, and as a result, the body was, you know, getting cancer and all these other diseases were really just the natural reaction of the body to some foreign entity or some foreign substance that should not have been ingested in the body in the first place?
Initially, I was totally shocked. I didn't think a country would do that to its people, but we were in the middle of an agricultural revolution, and they were doing whatever they could to increase yield and crop. So they were using a lot of fertilizer, a lot of poisons on the plants, and we would still eat them or go through the process of trying to eat them. And you look at the animals they raise and how they slaughter and kill them. You wouldn't think that it would be that this kind of diet would not be, or livid diet, whatever we were dying, would be available to people. But the big industrial corporations, they do whatever it takes to make a dollar, and soon realized that we were so deep in it that it would be difficult to come out, because they had so much money and they had the ability to basically control the law and all the other things they had to abide by, and we were just pawns. And we didn't learn a lot about that in school, and we had to learn it. I had to learn it myself, and it was very shocking. But nowadays, we've come a long way. People are aware, and we're beginning to at least be more mindful of the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, all of those things. People are adhering to a little better now. So people are moving to a place to where they want to live and don't want to be sick, and there are things that they can do. We are learning those things, and that's what my overall program is, preventive health education, and we try to get as much information out or deal with as many people as we can as we go through this process. Yeah.
You know, it is still truly amazing to me every time I hear your testimony, the fact that you actually used, and I want to, you know, make this clear, because I always say, you know, you cured your mother of cancer, you know, because there are people out there that will dispute that. There are people out there that will say, no, you can't say that he cured her. You got to give God the credit, you know. God cured her. You know.
Well, of course, God provides everything for you, but if you don't know to use it or know how to use it, it's not going to help you very much, so. You got
Absolutely.
To get up and get involved with it before anything help you. But we don't say the same thing when we go to the doctor. We give the doctor all the leeway. We just blindly follow them down the alley. Don't even ask them what they're giving us, and don't even, as long as we feel better or the pain is gone, we are fine. And so we got to take some responsibility. We as the people have to take some responsibility on ourselves, because people will use you as a guinea pig, and particularly in this corporate America, they will use you and till you die, and then you wind up like you came in with nothing.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Coy, let's talk about cancer, because I know that you've done a lot of research on cancer, again, having the success that you had with it when the doctors had actually given your mother, gave up on her, gave her 6 weeks left to live, and basically said, leave the hospital or, you know, take this chemo, mm-hmm. nothing else we can give you. And then for you to actually have used the, you know, what God made, and as a result, by the time you finished with your mother, the cancer in both breasts was gone, the cancer mm-hmm. in the liver was gone, and the mm-hmm. cancer in her colon was gone. That is absolutely amazing to me. So I know that you know about this topic. So just for starters, what is cancer? You know, what is it? You know, because a lot of times, you know, people, they hear, I mean, it's so rampant. You know, it's so prevalent in the society. You know, everybody knows somebody that either has cancer or has died from cancer. But you could ask the average person, they couldn't tell you what it is. What is actually going on with the cells when the doctors or the physician comes back and says, we have found cancer in the body? What is he actually saying?
What he's really saying is that you haven't taken the time to take care of yourself. Basically, you get this the way we eat every day, the things that we ingest, the thoughts that we have, all of those things goes to make up your immune system. So when you dump a lot of garbage in your immune system, your body can't breathe. It's like it just shuts down. The cells go haywire, and that's what cancer is, deterioration of the cell. The cells are not growing or building up. They are tearing down because of all this waste that we don't eliminate from the body. We eat too much all the time, and we eat too much of the wrong thing all the time. So over time, your body just, you're not feeding the cells what they need to really produce life. So this toxicity, this poison that we're dumping in the body begins to shut the body down. Your cells are like a generator. And if you take a generator and put it under water, it's going to die. It's not going to generate anything. So you have to keep your the immune system strong so you can feed the cell properly. And with the proper foods, you can get it to the cell, and the cell can develop and produce more cells and continue to give you life. But we go so far and to the point to where these dead cells accumulate in the body, and they can accumulate anywhere in the body, really. Sometimes there are some factors that determine whether or not it's your lung or your liver or your breast mm-hmm. or your back or whatever. But for the most part, these cells die, and they accumulate in that part of the body, and they become cancerous, or they're just dead tissue, just like a parasite or something that's sitting there sucking up all the toxicity that you were putting in your body. And until you stop that, cut off that toxicity to the cell, and that's done through the lymphatic system. We don't know much about the lymphatic system as we should. And the lymphatic system takes food to the cell, bring the waste away, and when that process breaks down, you develop a cancer, or sometimes called inflammation, or sometimes called mucus, all of that stuff. Adds up and began to deteriorate or kill or stop the process of life in the body, and we call that cancer.
So when it comes to lung cancer, I mean, I know that different types of cancers grow at different rates. You know, some cancers grow more slowly than others. When it comes to lung cancer, is that a rapidly growing cancer, or is that a slow one? I mean, you know, is it one of those things that once you've been diagnosed with lung cancer, is that something that, I mean, any cancer you want to get rid of as quickly as possible, but when it comes to lung cancer, I mean, is time really of the essence when it comes to that? Or is that, you know, one of the ones that, you know, you can not be so, for lack of a better term, aggressive when it comes to the treatment?
Well, lung cancer is probably the most common form of cancer in both men and women, and also the number one cause of death by cancer for either group.
Mm-hmm.
And that figure is rising a little bit faster for women than men. A lot of reasons for that, I suppose, we can talk about if we get to. And the factors mm-hmm. most responsible for causing lung cancer is cigarette smoking and air pollution, as well as exposure to toxic industrial material, asbestos, coal, tars, all the things they put in the buildings that we live in, usually give off some kind of toxic fumes, chemical pollutants, stuff like that. Also, a low level of vitamin A in the body can contribute. But I guess if you find yourself with a cough, I would say if you have you have a cough, it may be not so bad at first, but as it progresses, it gets worse. That's probably the best sign that you need to probably check yourself for lung cancer. And the lung cancer has the ability to spread throughout the body faster than any other cancer, and that's probably why it's the number one killer. And it it keeps you from the body needs oxygen. We don't move enough. We don't exercise enough. We don't walk enough. So when we do some kind of physical activity, it increases our oxygen capacity, and it helps the lung push out this stuff. Even though you might be living in a toxic environment, if you can find a place to exercise and do something to keep your immune system moving, it's important to do that because your heart got a pump, but the immune system have no pump. So you wind up, when you're sedentary or you're not doing activity that moves that lymphatic system, the cancer in the lung tends to spread a lot faster because that's the oxygen transfer for the body. So wherever you need oxygen, which is all over the body, your lung is probably going to be affected more so than anything else with this sedentary lifestyle. And probably why it's number one cancer cause of death. And already, if you already have a cough and it changes in severity, other symptoms can include you have fevers, chills, sweating, weakness, loss of appetite, weight loss. But in some 10% of the cases, there may be no symptoms. So I guess that's why when you go to your exams, and you're not supposed to have one yearly, I guess that's why, because they can check all these things. But I don't think they check any of these things most of the time unless you absolutely make them check it. You got to really ask them to check your thyroid, to check your vitamin D level, to check your vitamin A level. And when you leave the doctor, you've got something to give you, at least something they can give you to begin to make a difference or change the situation you might be in. But with lung cancer, you can most of the time we don't know until we already have it and it's spreading, so then you die quicker. So you have to be active, proactive with these things. Even if you're feeling well now, you still have to take the initiative to really keep up with your vital signs and make sure you're not going too far off track with your life. So that's kind of what a small introductory to lung cancer. It's the number one killer for cancer, and it's usually associated with the environment that, or the air that you're breathing, and the ingestion, the things that you take in that are not healthy or toxic, like smoking and alcohol.
When somebody, for example, goes to the doctor and the doctor says that they can't find anything. You know, I've recently, someone was sharing with me about a particular person that they knew that went to the doctor. The doctor, you know, they were running all kinds of tests. They couldn't find out what was wrong with this person, right? They just could not understand what was causing pain in this person's body. And I guess the patient was complaining about pain, and they just could not find, running all these different tests, you know, couldn't find out what was wrong. And so when word comes back that we don't know what's wrong, then that suggests to me that you don't see cancer, because obviously if you saw cancer, you would know, you would figure that that would be part of, at least part of what's wrong. We see cancer. But the report that they were getting back is that we don't know what's wrong. We've run tests. We can't figure out what's wrong. Then, recently, they said that they found a spot on the person's lung, but now they were saying that the cancer was in stage four. Okay, so how do you go from not knowing what's going on, okay, because you can't find anything, and then this person is in stage four cancer, and I assume stage four is the last stage, right? I mean, that's the stage before.
Yeah, pretty close to the last stage, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do you go from not finding anything to stage four, like in a matter of a week or two?
That's a good question. I don't know if we can absolutely answer that, other than to say that really we all have some form of cancer in us constantly. We have cells dying and running off and doing other things, breaking up. So that's just a part of life. We do a lot of the body breaks down as we do things in life, and we all have some kind of cancer. The thing is your immune system strong enough to contain it? And we get into trouble when we don't take time to take these fasts, or to go on a diet or live it, or to change the diet, or to live it by juicing and doing outside stuff, but learning how to eat right, learning how to eat properly. All of those things we all need to go back to and be conscious of, so we can prevent the cancer from moving to a state that will do that. So when you go to the doctor and they say they don't see anything, it's not like your body is going to have a lot of signs. It may not show up yet. They only know what shows up. So that's why you have to be responsible and know what your body needs, and to know what to do with your body to keep it that way. Otherwise, you won't know. You won't know until they find that it's a stage four or five, and then that's when you panic and you go into this mode of whatever the doctor say, instead of going back, stepping back, saying, okay, I got this condition. I know what to do about it. If I don't know, I know where I can go and find out. And I can begin to do what I can for myself before I give myself over to them to do whatever they want to do, which is usually inject you with some poison, give you some pills that's been recalled two or three times, or to burn it out. And that's not a way to address anything. That's not the first line of defense for anything. So you want to do first things first before you give your body over to the medical profession that doesn't have a lot of alternative ways of dealing with disease.
If we could talk for a moment, Brother Coy, about the healing properties in food, because, you know, if you look up, say, for example, just take a substance, broccoli or something, you know, broccoli or even, you know, artichokes or some any type of vegetable, celery, you know, or something, you'll see all kinds of benefits to that. You know, you might see fights cancer, you know, anti-aging, you know, all these different properties. You know, lowers cholesterol, you know, all these different properties, healthy properties in and nutrients in vegetables. But let's talk about, because there may be somebody out there listening right now that eats meat but doesn't know the dangers of eating meat. You know, and on this show, you know, I'm a proponent of not eating meat, period. You know, I mean, I know that the Bible talks about how You know, there's a certain in Deuteronomy it talks about certainly is that description, is that in Deuteronomy where it talks about certain meat that you can't eat if you know, if it's a split hoof and all this other kind of stuff. To me, that's just too difficult to follow, and the average person isn't going to go about, you know, their diet in that way. But if you could just even talk about the dangers of eating meat and what eating meat does to the body, and what animal fat. I believe it was you that shared with me that animal fat or eating beef is one of the highest contributors to heart disease, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, correct. Your body can't, is not designed to process meat in a way that it can actually burn it off. So when you eating this meat, and the problem we most run into is that we eat it every day and sometimes two or three times a day, and over time that meat will, because you can't break it down properly, we are not cows, we are not lions, we are not made to eat meat. So when we eat that meat, it just goes into the gut, and it just sits there, and it putrefies, and that's where a lot of the disease starts, right in the colon. So if you can, if you're going to eat meat all the time, you're going to be aware that you got to do something to clean it out. And if you don't, you're setting yourself up for a disease that is preventable. So if you don't get the dead meat out or stop eating it, you have to be very careful about it's going to aggravate your pressure, it's going to aggravate your blood pressure, it's going to aggravate your organs and break them down, and it's going to clog your immune system, and you're going to be more likely than not to come up with something, some kind of disease or something. But a lot of these foods that we think are foods, they are not really foods. They're the vegetables that that we call, most of the vegetables that we talk about are, I think the definition of a vegetable is a hybrid. It's something that's made in a laboratory, and it's not a real live whole food like an herb is. So that's the difference between a vitamin, a vegetable, and an herb. A herb is made to grow the body, to give the body what it needs. It's got, contains all the vitamins and minerals, and in combination they work even better. But when you looking at the foods that we eat, most of us, that's what we eat. It's because that's what they feed us. We are not on the land. We are not able to feed ourselves, so we eat what they feed us, and they feed us stuff that may be addictive. It's like they put stuff in the food to make you want more of it, and that's why we got overweight problem. We eat too much sugar, and we have to get off of those things in order to improve our health. And I see a lot of people are moving that way, and it's good to be a part of that movement. But that's the real problem with the eating the meat. It really breaks and shuts the body down. And if you don't take the time to do some fasting and cleansing and eating right, you're going to wind up causing some kind of disease that could be terminal. And it's unnecessary to, you don't have to die sick. And I think that's the message that we need to let people know and sound this alarm until people kind of get it. Because if you know what to do and you know how to do it, there's no reason why you should get sick.
You know, what's so interesting is that the body is so resilient. You know, it is so strong that, you know, we can abuse it for years. I mean, you know, because you got people have been eating meat ever since they were born. I mean, eating meat, and drinking milk. I mean, meat, dairy, eggs, sugar, you know, cereal with tons of sugar on it. I mean, from the time we're kids, you know, we grow up eating this stuff. And oftentimes I think people think that certain conditions just come with old age. You know, because, you know, you rarely find a young person with arthritis. I mean, you know, or something like that. But they're starting to get younger now. But, you know, I think a lot of times because people think that certain things just happen as you get older, that people expect when they get in their 50s and 60s. If you take somebody in their 40s now, they might think that, well, I kind of expect that by the time I'm 60, I might have arthritis, you know. I might, you know, somebody might expect that by the time they get 65, they may have something, diabetes or something. But what sounds like what you're saying is that if you give the body what it needs and stop giving it what it doesn't need, then you can live well into your 70s, 80s, you know, with no diabetes, no high blood pressure, no cancer,
pain.
None of that, right?
No pain, yeah, no pain, that's correct. That is absolutely correct. And there have been studies around the world. I think one of the most popular ones is the Chinese study. But you can just Google it or whatever the effects the diet has on and people that who live the longest in the world, what their diet is like. There's enough information out there for you to research it and come up with your own conclusion about how important what you eat is. But most people that live long lives, they eat root from the ground, leaves from the trees, and plants that are put here by God.
Mm.
Herbs. They use a lot of herbs.
When it comes to lung cancer, is there any because if you do all of the things that we're talking about now, you know, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't, you know, don't do drugs, you don't, you know, you get your exercise, you breathe, you make sure your lungs are getting enough air. But let's say somebody does find themselves with lung cancer. Are there particular fruits or vegetables or herbs that would tend to be more beneficial than others for eliminating or reversing lung cancer, or is it just cancer in general? That if you take, for example, somebody that might have lung cancer, or let's say, for example, you take somebody that has lung cancer and colon cancer, whatever they took that would relieve the colon cancer would also be the same remedy for the lung cancer as well? I mean, because I'm thinking about how when you used what God gave you to work with your mother, you got rid of the breast cancer, the colon cancer, and the liver cancer.
Yeah, that's the whole idea, is that you no matter what you call it, you can call it arthritis, diabetes, cancer, whatever it is, it all comes from the same thing, and that's the suppression of the immune system from what we eat, think, and drink. And we have to, once you address that problem, no matter where the condition is or what it is, everything was correct. The body has the amazing ability to correct and revive itself. And when you start doing what you know you ought to do, your body will respond, and that's why you get well. If you don't do that, you'll be continuously sick and maybe even taking medications for as long as you live, and that's not a good way to go. But when we talk about the respiratory system, there are several things that you can do to flush it or to get it to working right. You need a diet that is high in fiber. That's why we do whole foods. The concern there is, though, now there's a concern that there's too much there's a substance in the whole grain, in the shell. I can't think of the name of it. It's not pectin, but it's a substance in the whole grain that the body cannot break down, and it creates a lot of the mucus and the conditions leading to disease. And even though you get a cold or something like that, it's usually from this substance in the grain. And the way if you're going to eat grains, rice or beans or whatever, you need to pressure cook them. It's important to pressure cook them, or just at least soak them overnight. And that toxicity that's in there that creates these problems will kind of dissipate, and you will be able to eat them without the gas or the disruption that beans and grains can cause in the body. But there's the important thing is that if you're going to eat these things, that you need to make sure that you pressure cook them or at least soak them before you eat them. And for vegetables, you want to make sure, if you can, I guess, get organic, but I don't think it's much much many vegetables now that's organic unless you're growing them yourself and you know how close and how they've been treated. But yeah, you can address a lot of the lung problems with diet high in fiber, generous amounts of fruits, non-citrus vegetables, grains, nuts, and raw seeds may be helpful in combating hay fever and reducing mucus production in the sinus, like we mentioned. It also helps to drink the water that you need and do some raw juicing and some of the, like, beets and cucumbers and parsley, all of those things would help flush out the toxicity. And some of the herbs that you can take are like mullein and cherry bark and wild cherry bark and mullein and all kind of stuff. The vitamin C, of course, we always got to do that. 5 milligrams of vitamin C is a good way to flush. And you got to work on your glandular system to make sure everything else is working. You can use geranium and zinc to combat any breathing. Respiratory system is good. It's good for the respiratory system because it keeps your immune system up. Primarily, we talked about that. And you can always take a good multiple vitamin.
Do you have to be careful with the amount of zinc that you take? Is that something that you have to monitor? I mean, you don't want to. Is zinc one of those minerals that you don't want to overdo?
Probably you want to be concerned about where it comes from, at least. It's what's the source of the zinc. Oftentimes, zinc is found in heavy metals, and it comes with heavy metals or comes from heavy metals and or out of inorganic material out of the ground. And oftentimes, it might contain zinc, but you may not be able to break it down because you don't have the enzymes to do that. So you want a zinc that's maybe what they call bioavailable, that your body can actually absorb and use. And as long as you take it as directed, you shouldn't have any problem. If you have a need to take extra zinc, like if you have this cancer or something already, you may be able to do that for a while. But it's like, if the source of the zinc is okay, your body will use it and discard what it don't use. But if the source is wrong, it can build up in your system and create other problems that you may not know that they're where they're coming from. Yeah.
Well, can we talk about remission for a moment? Because people have heard that term, remission, and the understanding of remission, my understanding of remission is that when, for example, somebody's been diagnosed with cancer, and then they go and the doctor's working with them or whatever, and then, you know, they say that, oh, the cancer is in remission. Is that just mean that the levels are so low that it's not detectable, but it's still there? I mean, because somebody could think that it's, if the doctor says it's in remission, they could think, okay, I'm good to go, but not necessarily.
Well, not necessarily. The major thing when they say it's in remission, it probably comes from being changing. You've been in the hospital or something, you've changed what you've been eating, you've disconnected from what may be feeding your condition for a period of time, say a week or so, and that's enough to put it in remission. But what's happened is we get out, we go home, and we go right back into what caused it in the first place, and we repeat the cycle. So, yeah, you want to be mindful that you can go in remission. It's not unusual. It's probably more because you have changed what you have been doing or eating or something like that that leads to most remission. But if you go back into the same environment doing the same thing, you're going to just create that condition all over again of deteriorating cells leading to cancer. So, yes, remission is possible, but it means that it's still there, but right now it's not spreading or it's not it's manageable. It's not going all over the body. It has been contained wherever it is, and it's not at a level that is going to cause deterioration in the body.
What would you say to somebody, Coy, that is of the position that, you know, they're listening to this show, right? They're listening to this information, and they're thinking, okay, so this brother cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon. Okay, he's recommending, you know, that, you know, that you change your diet to a livid. Stop eating meat. Stop eating dead foods and start eating live foods, and you can actually reverse a condition as such as cancer, as far as stage four, maybe stage five. And they keep thinking, well, if you know this, Brother Coy, they wonder, well, how come the doctors don't know this? These guys and women have been to school, they're physicians, they've studied, they've gone to med school, they've done residency. You know, what would you say to somebody that is of the position, well, how come you know this and the medical establishment doesn't, or do they?
Well, they remember now, the medical establishment is really less than 100 years old. We got along fine without them for centuries. But when the, I think, Rockefellers came in and they decided they want to control medicine or outlaw certain things that was that made people well, they did that by claiming that we it was witchcraft and all these things they called it that we were doing. In other words, it hadn't been proven. And in my mind, the medical profession is the one that's practicing witchcraft because they have no information to say what any drug they give you can they say made a difference in your disease. It's really your body doing it on its own, and there are things you can do to help your body, but putting more poison in it is not one of them. And it's just a matter of we've all been conditioned. This whole medical industrial complex has been conditioning us to the notion that we need to get sick, and the medical profession treat disease with drugs. So you can't give the body toxins and poisons and expect it to heal itself. So we just have to come to a common sense, sit down and think about what you're doing, and come to a conclusion about what which way is best for you. Now, some cases, in cases of emergency, fine, you can maybe go through a process of taking a drug or whatever they give you to get over an infection or food poisoning or something. But over time and over the long run, there's nothing they really have in their arsenal that can really heal the body. And they come down on people that want to do that or want to engage in some other form of medication because they want us all on drugs and they want us all to do what we do every day and not be a problem to them. Because if they let us be healthy, if we were all healthy, then we wouldn't probably let them get away with the things that they get away with. But because they have the law on their side and they create the law and they enforce the law, they make us think that what we know is right is wrong and that what we do is witchcraft, but it's just the other way around. So I say whatever you think it is, just turn it around, and you'll probably most of the time you'll do better on your own than trying to depend on the medical profession to make a difference, because that's not what they do. They want to keep you sick because that's how they make money. They got these drugs out here now with opioids, and they just giving them away, and everybody's strung out on opioids, and the company that make it that made millions and billions and $1 billion dollars, and have none of them been called before the court and have many of them been arrested. They still out here doing the same thing. And so you got to see, open your eyes and see, and you'll see what's going on. And you got to do whatever you can to stay out of that system.
You know what blows my mind, Brother Coy, is the specificity with which the doctors oftentimes come up with their final, I guess, prognosis or diagnosis when it comes to a patient that has contracted something terminal. You know, they'll come back and say, like in the case of your mother, that she's got 6 weeks to live. That's very specific. You know, that's a very specific number. Why not five? Why not seven? Why not eight?
Right,
you know,
right,
and
right.
My conclusion for that is that, well, maybe they've been administering these drugs for so long that they have done it enough to know that, okay, it's going to take about 6 weeks for this chemical to break the liver down. You know, it's going to take about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, for this to you know, tear down the kidney. You know.
Yeah.
Because that's a very specific number. When they tell somebody they've got 6 weeks to live, it's like, how do you come up with that number? Why six? You know. So you agree that it's just simply because that they've done it long enough to know that if we continue to give this person this medication, that it'll take about that long for their vital organs to stop functioning.
Well, that's one way to do it, but I think another way to do it is to kind of hypnotize you into their office and then keep you coming back and doing what they want you to do. And that's a big part of it, too, because if they let you do too much thinking, or if they think you can hear yourself, or if they think they can hear you, then they wouldn't have any business. So they got to perpetuate their business, and they do that by scaring you to death. You know, I haven't seen anybody with an expiration date stamped on them, so they don't really know. They just talking, and you have to be able to reason through that on your own and decide whether or not you want to listen to that, or you want to go and do something to make a difference in terms of your health and begin to live again. So it does go both ways. Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people out here, Brother Corey, that just cannot fathom not eating meat. You know, they just can't even imagine it. They just can't even, in their wildest imagination, they can't even picture themselves not having a hamburger or a steak or some pork chops or some chitlins, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you combat that? I mean, when you're talking to people that, you know, who just, they're very staunch in their refusal. You know, it's like, look, I'm not giving up no hamburgers. I'm not going to stop eating chicken.
Right.
You know, I like it. You know, you got to die of something. You know, so that's what takes me out. Then, you know, what do you say to that?
Well, it's not much you can say. You get what you say. And if that's what you say, that's why you die early or die with some disease. But the problem with that train of thought is that we know now. We know better now. There's information out here. Tests have been done. All the meat that we eat is carcinogenic. We know that the medicine we're taking is toxic. I mean, we know this now. It's not like you can sit there and say you're going to continue to poison yourself and know the side effects of what you're eating, and you sit there and continue to do it. That's ignorance. That's stupidity and ignorance. I don't know which one it is mostly, but I think it's mostly ignorance is when you don't know, but stupidity is when you know better.
When you do know, and still do it, huh?
Yeah. That's where we are. We just have to keep studying. If you just keep doing the same thing over again, that's why they don't want you to think about other things you can do. That's why they don't promote. The doctor knows this. They know that if you change your diet, your body is going to get better. Why don't they tell you that? Because that is not their job, and that is not how they work. Their job is to keep you coming back. If you don't come back, they're not making money. And we just have to face that. That's an economic fact. I mean, if you're running a business, you can't give away the product or sell something that's going to be contrary to your
bottom line.
Bottom line, right. So it's an economic thing, and we have to get to that. It's always consider the source of what you hear and taste and eat, and look at whether or not it's benefiting you economically. And who's benefiting economically, so you can make a decision about whether or not you want to give your life over to that person to kill you, basically. So that's the short and long of the story about doing things that we know better. And I think that's a human element in there somewhere. We just we know we shouldn't do this. We know we shouldn't do that. And we know the right thing to do, but we just don't do it. That's a human frailty.
You know, I've always wondered when it comes to doctors, not wondered, but it's always been a source of angst for me when I hear about people who, you know, their loved one is in the hospital, may have been in the hospital for, you know, God knows how long, dealing with whatever the condition is. And, you know, the family's going to the hospital, visiting the patient, and they see the doctor, and the doctor seems to be friendly. You know, they talk, the family mm-hmm. get together, they talk to the doctor. The doctor seems to be friendly. The doctor mm-hmm. seems to care, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not going to say that that the individual doctor is trying to kill mama or trying to kill mm-hmm. daddy. But even mm-hmm. if the doctor had good intentions but was giving the patient substances that ultimately caused that person's demise, then whether they mm-hmm. did it on purpose or whether they did it just not knowing, the result is still the same. The person right. still died. So whether the doctor was, you know, intentionally trying to kill your loved one, or actually if the doctor thought that they were giving medication that could help the loved one, even if the doctor thought they were doing the right thing but they were doing the wrong thing, the result is still the same. The family mm-hmm. is still going to go to the funeral, and the doctor yeah. is still going to go to the bank.
Going to the bank.
You know? So when that doctor going to the bank, he ain't thinking about, or she's not thinking about the person who the loved one is putting in the ground. You know what I mean? So the doctor's still going to get paid like they did it right. It's not like if the patient dies, the doctor don't get paid. You know, it's not like the doctor doesn't get his salary or her salary just because the person dies. Like nobody's coming to them and saying, well, hey, you know, you lost that person, so you don't get your check. No, they're still going to get that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So you know,
what incentive do they have to change, right?
Exactly. That was where I was going with it.
Right.
You know,
that's what it comes down to. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. They have no incentive to change because then they can't ride the bins and fly wherever they want to fly and do the things they like to do. So they got to keep that cash coming. The more cash you get, the more you want. And that's what happens. And the drug companies give them drugs to give away, and it just goes on and on. So there's no stopping it, really. It's just a system that we're stuck in, and we seem to be not able to break out of it. And because it's so dominant, it's like, that's what it is.
mm-hmm.
So you don't have a lot of options outside of, you know, taking it upon mm-hmm. yourself to do whatever you can to help yourself.
That's why it's important to educate yourself. That's why it's important to read. You know, most of us don't read enough. Most of us can't even remember the last time we picked up a book and read it, you know, about anything, you know, about any topic.
That's great.
You know,
that's great.
We need to read more.
Yeah.
You know, we need the information out here that is available. Shows like this, other shows, I mean, there's studies out there that have shown we don't have any excuse today in this day and age of being ignorant. If it's ignorant, it's willful. You know, it's ignorance. It's like, okay, I heard the brother on the radio, but I'm going to close my ears to that. I'm going to pretend like I didn't hear it, but you heard it. You can't unhear.
And I'm going to the refrigerator and get me a hamburger and some greens, and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to eat this and go to bed.
mm-hmm. But can we talk
that
about fasting?
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about fasting. Because since food is such one of the biggest things that plays a role in us, you know, coming down with these conditions like cancer, of course, there are other considerations, environmental and others. But since food is such a big thing, let's talk about fasting for a moment, because a lot of people, some people don't know what a fast is. They've never been on a fast. And those that do know can't even conceive of themselves going 2 or 3 days without eating food, like it's going to kill them. You know?
Yeah.
So can you talk
food,
eating for a moment?
This is a good time to talk about fasting, because fasting is a discipline. And the discipline is to keep control of yourself. We get in trouble because we are out of control. We can't stop doing what we're doing. We're addicted to most everything we eat. And we don't take the time to give our body a break to recover from that. And this is what the Lent season coming up is a good time to fast. There's a lot of fasting energy out there, even though probably most people don't fast, but you can at least do the Daniel fast or something. That's where you eat certain grains and certain fruit. But there, you can look up a fast. You can just Google it, and it'll tell you a lot about the different ways you can fast. And if you have any questions or if you want some assistance, there's plenty of people out here that can help you. But the idea with fasting is to give your body a break, to get control of your mind, get control of your emotions, and focus in on something positive, like reading the Bible or learning something different. Just move the mind to another place and begin to release all the anxiety and stress and the foods and the poisons that we engage in. It's a time to let that go, and then you can begin to realize your power. That is your power when you have control of yourself to the point to where you can be in a place around people that's doing everything that you are not trying to do, and you can not eat while everybody else around you is eating, and you can take care of yourself in a way that eliminates all the other stuff that we get involved in. You can do that. That is your power. Once you get control of yourself, you can. That's when you can move mountains. And if you haven't been fasting or you haven't given fasting a chance in your life, I would recommend that now, starting now, since this is Lent season up until Easter, since we need to be directed in this thing, we should begin to eliminate flesh, all flesh from your diet. Say it may take you to the 1st of March to have no flesh. That's a fast. You have eliminated flesh. You can eat other stuff, but just try to eat the best food that you can find or that's available to you. And then as you go through the process, you can begin to, every week or every month, just eliminate a food from your diet and see the difference that it makes. That's the best way to understand and to fast, is to see, is to do it. And doing it first by just not trying to just go all how long you can go without eating. Just start eliminating the stuff you know you shouldn't do for as long as you can, and just do another place where you can actually control what you're putting in your body, and you're taking the time to feed your body what it needs and see the difference that it makes in your life.
You know, we talked about meat, Brother Coy. Let's talk about dairy for a second, because, you know, that's a big piece, too. You know, dairy causes a lot of stuff. And I mean, I know that dairy, speaking of lung cancer, I know that dairy would have a detrimental effect on the body as a whole. But could you talk about the effects of dairy? I mean, because people love their eggs. You know, you got people that, I remember back in the day, man, I would drink milk out the carton. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even bother to get the glass. I just turned the carton up, you know. And there are other people out there that love their dairy, you know, love their cheese, love their eggs, you know.
That's what we were raised on. That's what we were raised on. That's what we call good eating. But as we go through the process of feeding ourselves, we begin to understand that dairy is like milk. We are not cows, so we shouldn't be drinking any milk. And after you are weaned from your mother, you shouldn't be drinking any other milk, and you shouldn't be on milk when you're a baby, because that's where you get the allergies and the skin problems and all the diseases. It coming from the mucus that's in the milk. So we need to eliminate that from your diet. If you just do that, if you're on milk hard, just stop it for a month and see the difference that it makes. Eggs, the cholesterol is what you have to be concerned about with an egg. No matter how you fix it, it's still going to have and introduce cholesterol in the body, and that's going to clog your arteries, and that leads to you have to eliminate eggs and milk and cheese is if you're going to eat a cheese, eat a raw cheese, a cheese that's fermented almost. It's a fermentation. It's not pasteurized. It's a whole way of doing the cheese, like feta cheeses, like the raw cheeses that you get when you go to an Italian or Greek place. Their cheeses is like live. It's like a more like a probiotic. So when you eat the cheese, you want to make sure that it has some kind of it's not pasteurized, basically. So that's the
you said
process.
Italian, Brother Quay. I just heard somebody say, whew, okay, that means I can keep my pizza.
No. If you got that kind of cheese, but usually that's not the cheese that's on the pizza. Because with a pizza, you have the dairy and the whole process of pasteurized cheese. Most of that goes on a pizza, and the flour is it's like glue. It stops your digestive system, and you run it into a double whammy. You got the dairy, and you got the white flour, and you just clogging up your system. And that's the dairy side of food, and we should not be eating any of that. That's for animals.
Mm-hmm.
And we should learn that we need to eat. We are a live enzyme organism, and we need live enzyme food. So that means your food should not be cooked. You should be eating raw as much as you can, and you should be eating fresh fruits, vegetables, and the herbs that we have, learning how to use the herbs so that we can give the body the best chance we can to not be sick. So dairy is a no-no from day one.
Well, let's talk lastly, Brother Quay, about herbs if we can, because there may be people out there that when they just hear the word herbs, you know, they hear some images of, you know, something spooky comes to mind, like, you know, herbs is like something, and we ain't talking about smoking herb, you know, we ain't talking about, you know, but herbs, oftentimes
yeah.
People, when they hear just the word herbs, they think of something spooky or witchcraft or something like that. What actually are herbs and, you know, the benefit of herbs? I know you've made a distinction between herbs and vegetables and real food and fake food. So what can you talk about herbs and their benefit?
Herbs are plants that have not been hybridized. They were put here by God. They are whole plants. And that's the difference between an herb and a vegetable. Most vegetables that we mentioned, they are hybrids. An herb is a natural food that was put here for us by God. And we are doing everything we can to try to destroy the herbs of the planet and to make them not available. We are losing herbs every day. How many, I can't tell you, but a lot of plants that you used to could get not long ago, you can no longer find. It's a lot. The weather has a lot to do with it. The construction, that, you know, we are tearing up everything, has a lot to do with it. And we are entrenching on the land of the animals and the insects. So all that, all those things are coming in, mingling with the human population more so, and we're creating more disease, the opportunities to get sick, because we are killing the food that God put here for us to eat. We can no longer continue to eat, and now it's harder. It's even hard to find food to eat now. If you've noticed it, if you want some fresh vegetables and fruit, you may once in a while get a good sweet piece of fruit or get a decent piece of green leafy vegetables to eat. But for the most part, that stuff is old. It's like it's been shipped across the world, and by the time we get it, it's depleted of most of the vitamins and minerals. So we need to be concerned about how and what we're going to feed ourselves. And if anyone has an inkling to go back and start growing food, I think that's probably going to be the way of the future. And because it's very difficult now to even find kale or even collard sometimes, and turnips. You hardly see turnips anymore, turnip greens. So you have to, seek out those things and know where to go to get them. Otherwise, they'll forever lost in your diet. So even though that is what we have and they are hybrid foods, we don't know enough about how to go out in the wild and pick an herb and whether or not a plant is good for you or bad for you. So we just need to, you got to study, and you have to take the information that you find and begin to apply it. But if you can go out in the woods and pick herbs and know how to determine a weed from an herb and that kind of stuff, that's the way of the future, because we are losing the foods that we need to eat so fast till you can hardly find them anymore. So we have to.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, brother. It's interesting that you say that, because recently, I've just been paying attention lately when it comes to romaine lettuce. The romaine lettuce that you see this package, it looks like iceberg lettuce. I mean, it's not even really green no more. It's like, it's just a totally different look.
It's synthetic. They're making it in a laboratory. That's what's happening.
Wow.
And the foods that are available, they are compromised. And it's like you can hardly find anything fit to eat hardly. And it's our fault, because we let the industry go, and we haven't taken the time to even realize that oftentimes we had these recalls for a rash of recalls since the summertime on fruits and vegetables. And, where is that coming from? A lot of it is coming from the environment. The earth, I think, is going through a shaking or a turning, and it's getting ready to some big catastrophe or something is going to happen in the not too distant future, because of the way man has treated the planet, and by refusing to do and take proper care of the earth is regurgitating all this toxic and poison in the water. You can't find good clean water. You can't find good food that haven't been compromised now, because man has polluted the earth to the point to where there's no place you can get good clean fish. There's no place you can actually grow an animal and it's fit to eat, because now you got to put all these antibiotics and chemicals in the animal before you can slaughter it. And when you eat that animal, you're eating all of that energy and it's going right into your body, and it's doing the same thing to you. The little girls now are having periods before they're 10, and it's just about a lot about what they're eating in terms of these fast food places, because the food there is just full of hormones and it's been pumped up to get a better yield on the crop, and we eat it, and we're the ones that are getting pumped up and dying from it. And it's all about the money, Give me the money.
It's so wild. We've become so desensitized to things, and I mean, because we've been doing this, living a particular way since birth, we don't even consider when we eat a hamburger or fish or even something like that, that this thing was alive, that we're actually eating a dead animal. if you were riding down the
street
and you saw a dead, but if you were riding down the street and you saw a dead cow laying in the street and somebody asked you, would you eat that?
You'd
be like, if somebody saw a dead chicken laying in the road, somebody said, would you eat that? Answer, of course, would be no, but that's what we're doing, and as a result of that, the I'm sure the lifespan, man's lifespan is getting shorter and shorter and shorter year by year. But Brother Quay, listen, I wish I could keep on talking to you forever, man, but I want to I know you had a long day. You've given us already 15 minutes.
But it's been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be on and talk and see where people are. But I do the best I can, and to simplify it, I don't use a lot of big fancy terms or words. I try to keep it where you can reach it. And hopefully someone got something out of what we said tonight that will give them a better start in life. But, yeah, don't be afraid to fast. Don't make it complicated, and don't think that you're going to die if you don't eat a meal. And try to change up what you eat, at least eliminate the things you know can cause conditions, and you'll see that your life and your energy and your work will be a lot easier.
You just wiped out somebody's whole menu. You said eliminate the things that you know you shouldn't be eating. For a lot of people, man, that's everything on the plate. You know,
that's correct. That's correct. But we have to start somewhere, man. And fasting is an excellent way to bring the body back and give it a chance. So even if you go back to eating that thing, you're going to still get tremendous benefits from fasting, because it's going to show you that it is in your mind, and you can do what you can out of your mind, and do all things start with a thought, and you have to just stay with it. And discipline is very important, and we really need to get the whole family involved when we do these things, because we have to pass these things along, because pretty soon we're going to just say we'll go to the doctor and get a pill and they'll fix anything. It's not going to be quite that easy, and your body still is a live enzyme organism, and you can't give it dead food and expect it to perform.
You know, I believe that if you can fast, you can do anything. I believe if you have the discipline to fast, there's nothing that you can't do. You know, so
yeah,
Brother Quay, I want to. You agree with that? You
I
can do anything if you can fast. Well, Brother Quay,
that's
thank
your power.
You so
that's
much.
Your power, and they don't tell us that. And it's and the Bible tells us that, but though very seldom you hear anybody preach about that. Fasting is the way to accomplish whatever you want to do.
You know, but and we'll have to do a show on how to prepare for a fast, because I know myself, even personally, there have been days that I said, well, you know what, I think I'm gonna do a week fast, and then come time for the fast, I wake up that day and be like, you know what, I think I'll start tomorrow.
Well, that's the way it is. Something will always be in your way, and that's part of fasting. You have to get over that, and once you do, everything will fall in place.
Well, Brother Quay, again, my brother, I really appreciate your time. It's been an awesome, awesome show. To all of the listeners, I see their listeners on the line. Thank you so much for the time that you've taken to spend an hour or so with my person and King Quay Dunstan. Brother Quay, can you tell them about your establishment and the hours of where you are and how they can get in contact with you? I mean, Quay's got an awesome establishment where he actually actual products, some of the products that you'll need if you're going to go on a fast, or if you're dealing with lung cancer and whatever the condition is, and if you have whatever ailment. We were just talking about cancer tonight, but if you've got cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, gout, tuberculosis, whatever, you need to give Brother Quay a call. You can get by his establishment, and Quay does consultations as well. Brother Quay, can you tell him the services you provide and hours of operation?
I'm located at 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C. The telephone number is 202-562-0041. Our hours of operation is 8 to 6 every day but Sunday. And we do a full menu of a vegetarian menu. We do supplements that we talked about tonight. We can usually get them from me, and you can call me and ask me anything, or we do mail order. We mail all over the world. So 202-562-0041 for anybody that's interested in moving in a direction of healthy living. And give me a call. We got the products, we got the food, we got the as best there is to get to food to eat, and the supplements, the herbs, we talked about all of those things are available simply by just calling or asking the question or telling me what you want to do, and we can work with it from there.
And everybody, Brother Coy is a regular on Juwanza for Life. He comes on once a month, normally on the first Thursday of the month. So we are very, very, again, fortunate enough to have Brother Coy as a regular. And you need to go check out the archives. We've got shows with Coy dating back. Oh, man, we've been doing this show here for like these 5 years. And so I know that we've talked about high blood pressure. We've talked about diabetes. We've talked about erectile dysfunction. We've talked about cancer. We've talked about, I mean, different types of cancer. I mean, you name it, we've talked about it. So scroll down the archives. You'll see his name. All you have to do is just click on the show. You'll definitely be rewarded for it. And for those who have people that they heard this show today and they figure like, oh, man, I wish so-and-so would have heard this show. Well, you can share the show with them. Don't try to remember what Brother Coy said. Brother Coy can speak for himself. Just share the link. Share the link to the show, and that way they can hear the show in its entirety, and then they can get the benefit that you got by sitting and listening to Brother Coy. Again, he comes on once a month, and so we're very fortunate. Brother Coy, any parting words for our listeners today?
Well, I wish everybody good health, and we got to study in order to kind of understand where we need to go with our health. But like I say, most of the diseases we have are preventable, and we do all we can to let people know how to prevent them. So if you need help, just ask.
Everybody, write this number down, 202-562-0041. Put it on your refrigerator. That way, every time you get ready to go in there and grab something to eat, you'll see Coy's name, and you might think twice about it. That's 202-562-0041. Give him a call. Get by his establishment. Guarantee you, you'll be glad that you did. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for your time, everybody. Brother Coy, I'll be in touch. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Yes, sir. I appreciate what you do. Without you, nobody would hear me, so I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be heard. And I wish you be blessed and highly favored as you go through this life. Take care.
Thank you so much, my brother. I'll be in touch. We'll talk again soon.
Hotel.
Pat. Everybody, that is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Again, archives are full of his shows, okay? And for all of the first-time listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We've got shows on holistic health. We've got shows on entrepreneurship with Dr. Professor Joseph Geiger. We've got shows on spirituality. I mean, you name it. All you have to do is just scroll down the archives and you'll see those shows. Again, thank you so much for your time. And for those who tuned in because they were wanting information about lung cancer, again, had a bad report for the doctor, okay? But all is not lost, okay? There's always hope. As long as you're alive, as long as you're breathing, there's hope, but you've got to be willing to do something new. If what you've been doing hasn't been working for you, then you have to be open enough, humble enough to say, even though I might not have heard that information before, that doesn't mean that it's not true. You know, you can't be like that. You can't think that just because you haven't heard something before that that invalidates the information. It just means that you haven't heard it before. But there are other people that have heard it before, and they are acting on the information, and people are getting healed every day. People are coming off of medication every day because they're willing to make the changes that are necessary to be made in order to get back the life that they once had. A lot of times people look at what they used to be able to do. You know, remember when they used to be able to do this? Oh, when I was younger, I used to be able to do that. I used to run 5 miles every day, or I used to be able to do this. Well, you can get that back, okay? But you have to be willing to do some things differently. If what you've been doing has gotten you to the point now where you look at your life and you're like, man, how did I get here? Well, you can turn it around, okay? You can turn it around, okay? So, again, I want to thank you so much for your time. No promises. This is not a show of we're not making promises to say that, you know, you can get this pill and get rid of this or get rid of that. It's a lifestyle. It's what you do every day that is going to determine the quality of your life. I'll say that again. What you do every day is going to determine the quality of your life. Not a pill, you know, but what your habits are will determine the quality of your life. We need to get in the habit of fasting. We need to get in the habit of juicing. We need to get in the habit of meditating. We need to get in the habit of praying, okay? We need to get in the habit of reading. We need to get in the habit of listening to information that we may not have heard before and researching and determining whether or not this is good for me, okay? So I'm off my soapbox. My name is Juwanz, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? It's that.